Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Back to the NutraMedical Report, and we are here to serve you. We're here to pray with you. We're here to provide the technology of NutraMeds to heal your body. And by the way, the sale is on at midnight, East Coast time, 9 p.m. West Coast time, all the way through to midnight on Monday after Thanksgiving weekend. And that's 7% off all our products, including multi-packs and previous sale prices, free shipping over $149 in the USA, and you're going to get all kinds of free consultations. You can email me anytime, whether you're a member or not, or just listen to the program, or just were told by your friend. Email me Dr. Bill Deagle, Dr. Bill, D-E-A-G-L-E, at hotmail.com, and I'll provide you a free protocol, and even give you advice what kinds of tests your doctor should be doing to help sort out your problem, and also the options of other things that we can do at another level, which could involve a consult, test kits, etc. So we want to talk about a whole bunch of issues, and I have a menu of things. We needed to finish off after the show. We're going to do, I think, part four of the video series you're doing on your book, The Great Inception, and Satan's plan or psyops from Eden to Armageddon. And people need to give the devil his due, and I do. And I want to mention two things before we get into your book, which is brilliant. You understand the most important principle about the nature of good and evil that most Christians don't. Okay? Number one, when Jesus was taken high above the temple and Satan offered him all the kingdoms if he'd simply worship him, remember we're talking about the incarnation of God in the flesh, Satan was the greatest created intelligent being in the universe. Now, God is not created. He's beyond time and space. And to God, there's no such thing as past, present, and future because he lives in eternity. Now, what people don't grasp is they don't give the devil his due. Satan is the greatest scientist, the greatest musician, the greatest poet. He had the music. In fact, he was the music master in the heavenlies around the surrounding throne. He probably was the great architect of the universe, building our physical universe under the direction of the Most High God. So you have to understand, Satan's not a minor person. He's not a minor being. Now, they talked about how beautiful and great he was in all of his ways. People don't give the devil his due that every educational institution, every government on earth is luciferic. Now, it doesn't have to look ugly to be luciferic. When you have oppositional powers like the Constitution of the United States based on the opposition of the executive, judicial, and legislative branch, that's not Christian. That's luciferic. It's no different than King Nimrod of Babylon in ancient times and how he ruled by sitting in his rabble and then coming and say, I'll save you from my rabble. He wouldn't say it's his rabble, by getting rid of these guys. Well, the same thing goes on with the dialectic of the two-party system. I call them the uniparty because obviously with guys like Roy Moore, who did minor things, probably more minor than even Donald Trump, he is being excoriated in the news, and they bring up idiots like Franken, who is well known to be a full-force, very damn nasty pedophile. And we have to understand that what's going on here, they want to put them side by side, but they're not going to do anything about Franken. The real issue comes down to something that's really bad. This guy, Doug Jones, is the most vile, extreme uber leftist, pro-abortion, right to the moment of delivery, devil that's probably ever been in Alabama. And if the women of Alabama and the people vote and manage to give him the office, he's going to oppose not only Donald Trump's agenda, he's going to do everything he can to oppose the appointment of Supreme Court justices that will get rid of Roe versus Wade and stop killing babies. So I've inaugurated today, September 6th, is the day for an unhappy on birthday. It's the day that Margaret Sanger died, September 6, 1966 at 84, from dementia and for atherosclerosis. We have to understand also there these parties are getting us prepared so that America will surrender to world government. I call Unhappy Surrender Day the day before inauguration every year. We need to literally uncelebrate the fact that our government and our politicians like Mitch McConnell and Ryan are preparing to surrender our country with no protection against EMP, no protection against electromagnetic pulse warfare or incoming nuclear missiles or our border control, etc., so that we'll eventually collapse into either bankruptcy, a thermonuclear attack, or biological attack against our population, so we'll surrender to world government. And this is also the fact that 78% of Americans say they're Christians. What the heck? How can they say they're Christians if they don't stand up for the truth? And as Jesus said in the book of Revelations of John the Revelator, if you are neither salt nor light, what are you fit for? To be thrown out. I see a church which is violent right now being tested, and they're not doing too dang good. The end of the so-called Reformation, where a quarter of all Christians, including many American church leaders, have signed up with what I call the anti-pope, this Pope Francis is a devil, indicates to me we're damn well in the middle of the end times. This is the birth pangs. You can hear the writhing and screaming of the mother about to deliver the baby that's coming, which is a new age, a bride of us, which is getting ready to be married to the Most High God. And the terminal event, of course, is the deification of mankind and a new age where there's no secular world anymore. It's a spirit world where the fusion in the New Jerusalem is Yeshua Jesus coming down and bringing the 12 gates, etc., bringing down to deify mankind that will live for him not only just in lineal time, but eternity with God, be part of the God family. And right now we're in this final battle, the battle in the heavenlies, while the battle in Alabama is happening, things are getting ugly. And these battles happen in the ancient world. You've mentioned on your videos about the different mountains in Turkey. We're getting ready for the final conflict, aren't we? This is really getting ugly.
Yeah, because the enemy plays for keeps. And as you point out, most of the people in the American church, Christians, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They say they're saved by Jesus Christ, saved by faith, through grace, or by grace through faith, I should say. But they don't believe that Satan is a literal entity. According to surveys done by the Barna Group, most Americans who call themselves born-again Christians, don't believe that Satan is a literal entity.
Isn't that wild? And not only that, their idea of grace is to know about Jesus, not to have Jesus in their life and in their being. They don't realize that the definition of evil is not just doing things that are vile or ugly looking. It is doing what is right in our eyes. Aleister Crowley said, do what thou right is the whole of the law. So he's basically saying that's the same lie as the initial lie that the snake did in the garden against Eve that was adopted by Adam, which created the fall of mankind. Doing what is right in our own eyes, and people don't get it. This is exactly why you cannot pair your intellect with that of Satan or the fallen one unless you're energized by the will and the truth of the Most High God.
Yeah. Satan was the most perfect creation until, as the Bible tells, iniquity was founded. Pride led to his downfall. He wanted to set up his own throne, and still does, above the stars of God, above the angels of God. And the Bible tells us where that location is, which is gets into end times prophecy, the Gog Magog conflict, and all of that. I'm working on a book on that right now, but I think we can identify that the Lucifer who fell in Isaiah 14, the divine rebel in Ezekiel 28, is Gog of Magog, and that tells us a lot about who and where that conflict who is going to involve.
Right, so another Gog and Magog, of course, is in Turkey, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, all the nations mentioned in Turkey.
Which tells you, by the way, that the remember now in 2016, I think it was July, there was an attempt by the CIA to displace to get rid of the affiliate of Erdogan, the president of Turkey, mm-hmm. and to take over. And when they wanted to do the takeover, the Russians kind of gave him a kind of heads up that this intel information was going, and they hacked into the intel. And because of it, they arrested tens of thousands of people in Turkey, even if they just had a bank account in one of these banks of what's called this American that's exiled that owns more of these private schools. And his name, what's his name again? Fethullah Gulen.
Right, right.
And he's there's two guys that call themselves the candidate being the Mahdi. Fethullah Gulen, who lives in America, and this guy that's best friends of Erdogan. And both of them support the idea of the Jews starting a temple Mount Sacrifice, but they want the Mount of Olives to be Al-Quds, East Jerusalem to be the headquarters of the new Muslim caliphate, fusing all the Sunni and Shiite Islamic faiths into one faith and ending terrorism. Right?
Is this the television host in Turkey? Did you talk about Harun Yahya?
No. What's his name? Yeah, I think that's him. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. He's an interesting guy, and I've got a friend who's an ex. Well,
I want you to talk about that when we come back. Okay. Keep that thought.
Sorry, I didn't hear the... He's the one who mentioned this guy. I've studied him very much, but he does have a kinder, gentler form of Islam.
Right.
He's trying to push.
And welcome back. And I pulled up the information while we're talking on the break. Barrett, this gentleman was born on February 2nd, 1956. His name is Harun, H-A-R-U-N, Yahya, Y-A-H-Y-A, and of course he's a Turkish author, he's also an Islamic creationist. He claims to be the Mahdi, and his name is Adnan Oktar, O-K-T-A-R. He's the alternate to Fethullah Gulen, who owns a lot of private schools here in America. In fact, he owns more schools as a Muslim than any other Muslim in the world. And of course, it was an attempt to try to do a CIA takeover of the state of Turkey and to displace the president of Turkey, and the Russians tipped him off. So this guy, Adnan Oktar, actually supports the idea of a Jewish temple, but also wants to have a caliphate on the Mount of Olives and to end the Sunni and Shiite Islamic conflict and literally have a trans-Islamic currency based probably on gold, and as well to have the Temple Mount Sacrifice start. Will be, I'm sure, a perfect congruent to the Vatican Pope, because this guy, I'm sure, is a high-level Muslim Mason. By the way, there's more Muslim Masons than all of the religions on Earth put together. People don't know that, do they?
Well, it makes would make a lot of sense of all of the Arabic and Islamic imagery and symbolism in Freemasonry.
Right. So tell us more about where you see this going, because we're going to do a follow-up on part three of our video today. I see the big battle I see right now is over Judge Roy Moore. And this is not just a battle over his dating teenagers when he's 32 come back from the military. It's a battle over pro-life issues. It's a battle over satanic sacrifice of babies. It's a battle of who's going to be the next additions to probably or three to the Supreme Court. It's a battle for the heart of America, because if America doesn't pass a tax bill and a godly health care bill and gets rid of abortion, America's doomed. America's hanging in the balance right now with Donald Trump. And I believe that's why God used the name Trump and Pence to say it's the last Trump or chance for America and time for repentance. So we're real close, and if people see these people like Adnan Oktar, who calls himself Harun Yahya. And by the way, tell us the nature of what these names mean, Harun Yahya. What's the ontology of it?
Well, it's references to Harun is an Arabic form of the name Aaron, as in
right.
the brother of the prophet, and Yahya is John, but apparently in this context it's a reference to John the Baptist. So he sees himself as something of a prophet, apparently, and one is trying to usher in a new sort of hybrid form of Islam, a kinder, gentler form. But it's really strange. If you can find videos of his television program on YouTube.
Right.
He surrounds himself with these very shapely, cosmetically enhanced women who wear very tight clothing. It's not any kind of Islam I'm familiar with.
But it's one that I'm sure the Pope and these, have you ever heard of the Pentalfa Division of Islam? That actually is cardinals that actually converted to it. The Pentalfa Division of is actually these cardinals that actually converted to a special form of Islam. And it would not at all surprise me that this guy, Akhtar, that he actually could allow the fusion of these all of quote-unquote Abrahamic faiths of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all together, and it's sort of a weird chimeric monstrosity, isn't it? It's very, very likely.
Well, that's kind of how it appears. But when you think, you step back in time and look at the big picture and how this might fit into a prophetic context, the, you know, there have been, we're arguing 2,000 years down the road from the Book of Revelation as to what the Antichrist or who is going to look like, where he's going to come from, what his nationality will be, and we still haven't arrived at a consensus. And I think that's by God's design. He knows, but he doesn't want the enemy to know that he knows. So that's why it's deliberately obscured. In fact, Paul even references that in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8, where he says, if the rulers of this world, the archons of this world, had understood this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd understood the prophecies of his first coming, they wouldn't have put him on the cross, because that's what he wanted. So we're not going to understand the prophecies of his second coming and a lot of other details either, I think, because God is a smart general. He's not going to tip off his, you know, tip his hand.
But I think one thing is once it starts to unveil, which is why it's called the apocalypse, it's going to be evident to anybody, even if you have a zero Christian IQ. It's going to be very evident to you that there were dealing with some very evil forces.
You'd
never open a page of the Bible.
Revealed to us on a need-to-know basis, and we'll need
exactly
to know when time comes. But one thing that I think is clear that I don't see in Islam's current form any reality in which the people of Israel welcome him as a Messiah.
I don't think he will, but I can tell you this is my take, and I'm going to throw this out, and this is not my opinion. It's one of the small 3x5 cards of things that I know prophetically. And this is my ministry, which doesn't start, by the way, fully until the first day of the blood sacrifice years from now. And I don't know when it is. And God said, don't ask me because I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you there's three things that I know right off the bat here that I'll discuss today. Number one, that the mark of the beast is going to come not from Islam or come from Brussels or come from Beijing or from Moscow or Tokyo or Johannesburg, South Africa. It's going to come from America. The primary note of that is that Schriever Air Force Base, Falcon, Colorado. And that the beast dictator will be a future American president. Now, this guy Yahya may have a lot to do with bringing in Islam, because one of the signs that I've seen in the last 2 months is that Jared Kushner's brought peace between Fatah and Hamas. With another sign is that the Pope has brought peace, which is really a false peace, between a quarter of all Christians by ending the Protestant Reformation for them. And the third step is the previous Pope, I call him, he looks like the Baron Harkonnen or something. He looks like the, some evil guy. The last Pope, who's still alive, by the way, actually had a ceremony about 4 or 5 years ago near Bethlehem, where they had, rabbis and imams and so on, and Catholic priests, all basically sacrificing this Abrahamic faith together near the Mount of Olives, sorry, the mountain near the birthplace of Yeshua, Jesus. And what I see coming is this guy Yahya very likely could be the one to bring Islam. And the next step, and I'm saying this prophetically, is that the next big step is to see a silencing of violence and Islamic extremism around the world when this guy sets up his caliphate. And he's got the support, by the way, of Netanyahu and the Pope. I guarantee you the next step will be the Pope will actually certify this guy is an Islamic leader he can work with his blonde girls with their highly, surgically enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that what will happen is a lot of Muslims will be in a state of shock, but they'll realize he's going to bring so-called peace between Sunni and Shia, because right now there's a war really heating up fast between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And that missile, by the way, that came from Yemen that nearly hit Riyadh, they're mm-hmm. doing everything they can. People don't realize we are months away from a thermonuclear exchange between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia, by the way, and I have this from my intel agents in Israel that have sent me the photos as long as 20-plus years ago, that the image sat, that they, for 30 years, the Saudis have had CC-3 missiles from China. They have nuclear warheads, and the Saudis are armed to the eyeballs with nukes. So are the Iranians. They'll pretend that they're not developing it. They're full of crap. And it's not just Iranian, it's Russian technology and Russian targeting. So we are months away from a conflict, and that's why Saudi Arabia is doing so much to cooperate with America. They're terrified.
Well, and the other thing that's really intriguing is what Mohammed bin Salman is doing there. It appears that, according to what I've been reading, he wants to provoke a war with Iran through Hezbollah in Lebanon, and that would, of course...
Oh, wow. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then done. Some of these names, because this is an interesting one. Adnan Oktar, who calls himself Harun Yahya, and people are a little shocked when I say these things, which they want to say, well, that's just your opinion, Dr. Deagle. No, it's not. People need to understand that the mark of the beast will come from America. America has weapon systems literally centuries ahead of anybody else. They have the most advanced computing system. Although they'll say China has all the stuff, China only has our off-scoffing of the things that we have for supercomputers. We have the what's called the Cray Array, and the Cray 5 Array, which is made with the gallium arsenide chip, which is the first quantum chip in the world. They thought they'd have to build in a special room on the space station back in the 1980s, and they actually... Dr. Seymour Cray, who worked in Colorado Springs, and I took care of his employees with the Cray Array system, they built a gallium arsenide chip which had the computing capacity of 100,000 Cray 4 supercomputers. They have built a virtual model of Earth with everything, including vertical dimensions down to a tolerance of 1.5 centimeters. Of every building, every roadway, and everybody in the first and second world is actually an icon called a node in the virtual world system called the Promise software. They're now marrying this to what's called the system that controls the world commerce, which is why you see these cryptocurrencies taking off like a rocket. A lot of people are drunk with the financial gains in these cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. It's gone up so much. Some of these cryptocurrencies have gone up 81,000%. That's not rational. Then what they've done here, and people need to understand, the marriage of the blockchain cryptocurrencies with the biometric system, which includes terrorist bone scans, iris scans, facial scans like the iPhone 10, etc., is the final creation of the thing, of the image of the beast. That image of the beast has already been released. The first glimpse of that was Sophia, which is actually the first robot AI system that has actual citizenship in Saudi Arabia. If you can go Google it and find out that, oh my gosh, it's actually there. AI, according to Elon Musk and others, is more dangerous than any other thing mankind has done, including creating nuclear weapons. People don't understand this, do they? The image of the beast is already in its nascent stage right now, coming out of the crib, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing that's incredible is we're seeing stories that that sound like the premise for a really, really terrifying film. There's a fairly successful Silicon Valley executive who just filed papers with the Internal Revenue Service to register his corporation as a 501c3 to administer his new church, which is based around creating a godhead out of an artificial intelligence. Meanwhile, you've got a professor at University of Southern California who has created an artificial intelligence that he is feeding the writings of the Zodiac Killer, the serial killer from the late 60s, early 70s, killed at least 5 people, maybe as many as 28. And it is starting to create its own Zodiac-style poetry. Now, this guy, this professor, wants to solve the case. He wants to crack the encrypted code that cryptographers have not yet been able to solve from the Zodiac Killer. It may be, for all we know, the Zodiac Killer was just making stuff up to fool people. I don't know.
Let me give you an insight here.
Programming an AI that it could potentially be millions, if not billions of times, think millions, if not billions of times more quickly than a human, to think like a serial killer.
Let me give you a couple of classified information I don't usually talk about, but I'm going to. In 2003, that's 14 years ago, they launched the first kind of pseudo-AI system with the Virtual World Project, which I took care of employees. Now, the way, how did Dr. Deagle get to manage to know all these things, do all these things with, you know, the first kid shot in Columbine, the exit examiner of the Oklahoma City Murrah Building, the toxicology of the radiotoxins from the World Trade Center, the Operation Top Off in Dark Winter? God had my day timer. And on October 10th, 1993, and this is supernatural, I had a supernatural visitation and was taken to Colorado Springs to the city and the place from which the Mark of the Beast would come. To the day, 9 months later, on July 10th, 1994, I walked in the flesh to the same places after I got a Bob Top secret clearance. There's not an individual that's ever had a pulse and knows more than I do about the physical, technical, and spiritual Mark of the Beast ever has lived. Now, there's a reason for that. Next month, on December 16th, I'm doing a lecture called The Song of DNA. Now, I've been working on quantum physics of biological systems for 40 years almost. And my first lecture was 1981, which is 36 years ago, called Phonon Maser Biophysics to a Panel of Biophysicists. And I got patents on my Dynatens machine, which is based on the quantum physics of biological systems. I've completely worked out the quantum fuzzy logic, nonlinear mathematics, how all biological systems and even consciousness works. And I'm presenting my lecture next month as a warning, not only that we not only can open up the box of stopping human aging and disease with quantum physics, but it's the same technology, and it's completely different than the programming that this guy at UCLA and other places are doing. My technology in mathematics is nonlinear, fuzzy logic, hierarchical quantum biocircuits and harmonic resonant circuits that code for, in a non-localized fashion, all concepts of all living things. So it's like a promise software, but in nonlinear mathematics. And I have it complete. In other words, I know how they could create this kind of beast system and so on. And I want to warn people, just like Elon Musk sort of warns it philosophically, I know how to do it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to warn them also the technology we have that can change the quantum biocircuits right now for human biology and disease and stop aging and disease in human beings and other life forms. The same mathematics is the same mathematics to make bidirectional access to your consciousness. Now, Stephen Hawking made this statement a few years ago, that if a predator being from a distant part of the galaxy was to ever discover us, and we should be fearful of them discovering us, he said we should be afraid that they're, number one, predators, and number two, they could hack into our consciousness. Because if you're going to dominate a people, you have to understand that's what happened. The ancient world shows lots of evidence that, in fact, all of our secret orders, including Druidic Order, are just byproducts of the ancient hacking of human consciousness by transdimensional beings that were, in a sense, super beings from other parts of the galaxy that were the fallen ones called the Nephilim. The Nephilim we know came from the star system Orion. We know who they are. We know the Vatican worships these beings called the Dagon because they had these fish hats, because they're amphibious reptilians from the star system Orion. We know they had intellects far beyond human intellect. They brought agronomics, metallurgy, pharmacology, etc., and they transplanted also genetic information to start creating hybridization. That's why the book of Jasher, quoted by the brother of Jesus, was revered just like the book of Enoch was revered until the 3rd century when Constantine kind of, de-Christianized it and said, no, that's not part of the dogma. The fact is that we know that there's other worlds, there's other beings. We know there are fallen ones that have interfered with human genetics and interfered with the human biology, interfered with our government, and also created these artificial things like the druidics and the high-level witchcraft and other things that have a scientific as well as a transdimensional basis to it. So people like Hillary Clinton are descendant of high-level Royal Arch Masons that are otherwise we call wizards and warlocks, and they're actually, in a sense, people of clay and iron. Physical flesh, clay, and iron hacked by consciousness from the ancient world, from these transdimensional beings. And they were both physical and transdimensionally spiritual. People need to realize this is very real. The Bible and every other holy book in the history of the world proves it. It's not just an odd kind of suggestion, isn't it?
Well, it's true. I mean, that, and the more I dig into the writings and the beliefs of the pagan nations around ancient Israel, the more I see that the Bible is, many of the things in the Bible are a response to what the fallen tried to accomplish through their human...
Well, look at the Palestinians. The ancient Palestinians worshipped Dagon, and they brought even the Ark of the Covenant to the temple of Dagon, and they, of course the temple fell down around the Ark, and they pulled the Ark out of there. But the fact is, Dagon was this ancient reptilian amphibious god that's the same one that the Vatican worships. That's why their hats show the fish hat. That hat on the Pope and the senior cardinals is the fish hat of Dagon. They're worshiping the same damn being.
Well, it's interesting that
I can hear the bumping, but we're being bumped. We'll be back in a minute, and you'll get a chance to talk and respond.
Right.
See you in a minute. Your book, this is very important, Derek. We're going to be also doing some video after the show. You can go to skywatchtv.com, skywatchtv.com, and there's a bookstore right there. And the name of the book is called The Great Inception, Satan's Psyops from Eden to Armageddon. And why is this book so important? Of course, you stand on the shoulders of many great scholars, because you've taken all our scholarly things and put it together, but you've done a masterful job. You've taken things such as the information that, you acquired from people like Dr. Michael Heiser, about what he talks about reversing, I guess, Hermann, mm-hmm. And what people don't understand is, this is not just a spiritual thing, because I think there are a number of early church leaders tried to spiritualize this issue and don't want to believe that we have not only transdimensionality, but actual physical beings that did genetic engineering to the human race in the ancient times, which caused God to have to bring the Noah's flood to destroy most of genetically modified humanity. This is not a minor thing, is it?
No, it's key, and that Mike has written two books that I highly recommend. One is called The Unseen Realm, which talks about the reality of this other realm and how it's shown, in the Bible. This is not having to go outside the Bible to bring this in. But secondly, was the second book that he's written that we recommend is Reversing Hermann, which is about the impact of the episode, which is only recorded in four verses in the book of Genesis, Genesis 6, verses 1 through 4, where angels came down, and we don't even know about Mount Hermon, except that it's mentioned in the book of Enoch, the extra-canonical book of Enoch, where these watchers came down. Swore an oath with one another, and then went out to take human wives and produce the Nephilim, but also then to corrupt the human genome with knowledge and science that we weren't supposed to possess. Of course, God sent the flood to wipe that out, and after the flood, there was a group of people in particular, and they'll be the stars of my next book, took great pride in saying in bragging about how they had preserved knowledge from before the flood.
Right. And so there are a number of those people, the ancient peoples, that did this preservation. And so people should understand, we're at a time of the end where we're transitioning to become what's called a galactic civilization. There's three things that CERN was doing, and of course they have the image of Kali, which is the Hindu-Buddhist goddess of destruction that destroys the universe every so many billion years. If you look at their time scale, it's like hundreds of billions of years. And the reason why they have this is there's three things that CERN is doing. Number one, they're mapping out the wormholes so you can jump across the galaxy or time space to other parts of the world. So if you're going to do intergalactic travel and trade, you have to be able to use wormholes above the speed of light travel. Number two, they're trying to create star power, which goes beyond just our local nuclear fusion, tokamak fusion type reactors. They want to create full star power, which is basically being able to rip holes in the space-time continuum and allow it to create this form of star energy. which is basically white holes, black holes, basically creating black holes and white holes to gauss fusion energy. And the third thing that they're doing is they're actually trying to create a whole new transgalactic civilization. They are in contact with advanced worlds. People don't want to believe this. That's why there's all kinds of distorted versions of this, whether it's the Mormons and their idea of Kolob, or a lot of ancient writings even by people like the Hopi Indians. You're probably familiar with the Hopi and their idea about contacts with star people, etc. Mm-hmm. And if you go around the world to Australia and elsewhere, this is not an anomaly. It's actually the standard that all of these peoples know that they've had some contact with beings from other worlds, just like the Dagon, which is a tribe in Africa that knew even the positions of the stars that we didn't understand until the last 40 or 50 years. And it was in their culture for thousands of years. It doesn't make sense unless you actually posit that there was an actual transfer of technology, information, and even the entry into our religious systems, this contact. Now, what I have to say about the Vatican is they're getting prepared for what's called first contact, where on a public basis, they meld this new, we call chimeric super religion, where they're going to bring in this guy, Akhtar, and they're going to fuse it all together into one super religion where insects are going to say, just like I call, like Darth Vader, I am your father. They're going to try to say that the aliens upgraded the genetics of the human race, and in a sense, they are our masters, our creator, co-creators, that they're the demigods that actually created the human race. That's what the Vatican is going to push when first contact happens. And people aren't prepared for this, are they?
Well, no, and that's one of the reasons that Josh Peck and I have written a forthcoming book called The Day the Earth Stands Still, which right. deals with the subject of how Christians could process a genuine extraterrestrial presence. Now,
right.
we believe that all of the contact that has been reported by contactees, those that attend the UFO festivals around the country, are deluded. And that they are hearing from something, and we have no doubt of that, but it isn't what they think it is. And so that's the approach we take.
I break it into four classes. Let me give you this, and then you can think about it. The first class is probably 1% to 2% are actual advanced contacts, and usually they make it with above-government technology, so like U.S. base missile defense and extraterrestrial, basically entire fleets, which I know about, because of my super above top secret clearance, number one. Number two, there are we call peripheral contacts that happen over a period of centuries and aren't very common. But there's been astral contacts. In other words, there's on the spirit level, there's been kind of like, if you want to call it the spirit breaking through, where there's been informational, educational, and we call demonic contacts that are affecting, invading people's consciousness. It's in preparation for the actual physical presence of these arriving. And it says in the Bible, woe to you, earth and you seas, for the devil and his minions have come down to you, for great is his wrath, for he knows his day of destruction is coming. So the Bible predicts that there's an actual first contact coming, doesn't it?
Well, there is a day coming when, we are definitely being visited by entities. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but at multiple levels. On the level of consciousness, in fact, if you've got to think of it, any being smart enough to leap across the galaxy above light speed can easily hack into human consciousness. And in fact, that's what they wanted me to do 40 years ago working at UCLA, was to use my technology of mathematics and so on, which I'm going to present to the Academy in 3 weeks in Vegas. I'm going to present this because I want to give a warning. Not only can we use this technology to extend human lifespan and stop aging, it's the same technology that allows bidirectional hacking into human consciousness and creating literally this game Jumanji where kids can hack into it and literally enter cyberspace. Yeah. This is where we're going. And people say, no, Dr. Deagle, you're making this up. I said, finally, after all these years, I can talk about this, which I've known for decades, because the public media and the cell phone companies are predicting in the future, you won't have a computer screen. The computer screen will be your cortex. You won't have to hear with ears. Your ears, your brain will actually receive the cybernetic signals so that you wouldn't even need to have ears to remotely know things. You can actually go to libraries with your consciousness and download reams of information that no human could read in a lifetime, in a matter of minutes. And you can download experiences like jumping off the side of a cliff in a bat suit or learning a language in a matter of minutes. These things will be possible in the near future.
And the one thing I think that's key to remember, though, is that those people who are being contacted by these entities who are having their consciousness hacked, which is a good way of putting it, the message is very consistently anti-Christian.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. And the reason is, just like the Bible and the Pope says, you can't have a personal relationship with God. See, the definition of good is to hear and do God's will. Shema is the Hebrew word. And the fact is, if you aren't hearing, either in the Bible or when you pray and have a relationship with God, you can't do good or evil. You can only do evil because you're doing what is right in your own eyes, even if it looks, tastes, and smells good. So the fact is, society is completely rudderless if this happens. And you see more and more of it. You see it in politics, in medicine, you see it in religion, you see everything so corrupted now that good is evil and evil is called good. That's what's going on. People have lost their way, haven't they?
Well, they have. And again, the surveys by a respected group like the Barna Group, which has done an excellent job of just tracking what Christians in America say they believe, what they say they believe over the last 20 years or so,
right.
It shows that most of us don't really take the faith that seriously. When you look at the kind of entertainment that we are approving for our kids, and
right.
how much of it is based on the idea that either being able to wield magic, to do sorcery or witchcraft is cool, would be fun.
I call waiting for the Ubermensch.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to be back in a few minutes. If you sign up and live stream, we're going to do some video podcasting here in a few minutes. Thank you. Amazing discussion today. Derek P. Gilbert, SkywatchTV.com, SkywatchTV.com. Check out the bookstore. The Great Inception is the main book, but there's lots of books there. Thank you. We'll be back in about 10 minutes or so on live stream, so you want to be ready. Strap yourself in. Get your popcorn.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.